Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 24, verses 13 and 14. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 13 and 14. Now, these two verses are about the words of God, but specifically they're about eating honey. Honey is a type of the word of God, as you'll see in this study today. And so be thinking of that when you hear the verses. Proverbs 24, verses 13 and 14. My son, eat thou honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to thy taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul when thou hast found it. Then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. All right, let's read it again. My son, eat thou honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to the taste, or to thy taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be to thy soul. When thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. Now, honey is a type of the Word of God, and we know that by checking some cross-references. I realize that we've just read our reference, and we will come back to it, but we want to check a couple of other references here, because by doing so, you'll understand that when you read about honey, you read about it in the sense that it is like the Word of God, or the Word of God is like honey. In other words, in dealing with the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments and the words of God in Psalm 19, Paul said, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, watch it, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. So the words of God are sweeter than honey and than the honeycomb. In Psalm 119, the psalmist also made a reference to honey when discussing the words of God. And he says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. So that's what they're like. As a matter of fact, we find evidence in two other places in the Bible where men regarded the words of God like honey. And God was there with both of these men. One of them was Ezekiel. All right, in Ezekiel chapter 3, we see this. And it actually starts out in chapter 2 and then goes into chapter 3. But he says in Ezekiel chapter 2 verse 8, he says, open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And then in Ezekiel 2:9, he says, when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there were written therein lamentations, mourning, and woe. Those are words, okay? And then he says in chapter 3, verse 1, he says, moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll, all right? That's a book. And there's words in those book, in that book. Eat that thou findest. Eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said to me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. It's a book, and he's eating it, called a roll. You know, you go to the restaurant, you eat a roll, and it's a piece of bread, and you put honey on it. It tastes real good. All right, well, this is a book. And when he ate it, he said, this tastes just like honey. In Revelation chapter 10, John sees a book. It's in the hand of an angel. All right, and in Revelation chapter 10, verse 9, I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. Well, there you go. There are a number of references then. We've looked at four places. Psalm 19, verse 10. Psalm 119, verse 103. Ezekiel chapter 2, verses 8, through Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 3. Revelation chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. And every one of those, the word of God is likened to honey. As a matter of fact, it's sweeter than honey. Now, in the case of the little book, Making the Belly Bitter, by then it's now in the digestion process. And, you know, the sweet words of God do embitter you toward the world. I remember after reading the Bible, I called a friend of mine. I said, this world is going to hell in a handbasket. What was the problem? A world I used to love, I began to hate. And I was bitter toward those things because of the Word of God. But boy, the words were sweet in my mouth like honey. So we see this admonition. Now, you say, what is this all about? Well, it's very simple. It's very simple. By looking at some other cross references concerning honey, we will learn why it is important for you and I to eat the words of God. You know, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, right? All right, so we're to eat these words. Now, I realize that we do that by reading them, but just look. In the text, first of all, the reason that we are to eat this book, eat it up, we say. Boy, man, did you read it? Oh, did I read it? Man, I ate it up. You see, it's an expression. Why would we use that expression unless it's something from the Bible, see? And it is. All right, now what's going on here? First thing, you need to eat the words of God because they will increase your appetite for the Bible. Look again in our text in verse 13. My son, eat thou honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to thy taste. Right? And honey's good for you. And then the picture is, he said, as you would do that, so shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectations shall not be cut off. In other words, as honey is good for you, so the Bible is good for you. And not only that, it's going to increase your appetite for the Bible. All right, here's the deal. When I first started reading the Bible, I wasn't used to that. I'd read newspapers and read books there for the bank and read other type of information, maybe a novel from time to time. But I started reading that Bible, you know, and it was like, whoa, boy, this is so different. I'm not used to this. And so then I began to read a little bit more. But as I read, the more that I read, the more that I wanted to read, you see, because my appetite was increasing. And I'll give you an example in a practical sense. If you've listened any length of time, you know that I have hypoglycemia, which means it's low blood sugar. And eating refined carbohydrates causes me to have a sinking spell like, ugh, it's just terrible. So I don't eat that stuff, or if I do, I eat very little of it. I don't eat sugar at all. Anyway, the point is this. When I quit eating, people say, you don't eat sugar? Man, how long has that been going on? Well, years. But here's the deal. When I first quit eating sugar, I still had an appetite for sugar. You see? I still wanted pecan pie with ice cream, warmed up, a la mode, you know. I wanted peach cobbler, oh, baby. With ice cream. Oh, yeah. I wanted lemon meringue pie, coconut cream pie, buttermilk pie, donuts. I wanted ice cream with chocolate syrup all over it. I wanted all that good stuff. And I've just named a very, very small number of the kinds of sweet things that I like to eat. Pancakes with syrup, waffles with syrup. Homemade, you know, so they really stand up thick and don't collapse as soon as the syrup hits them. Oh, baby, that was some good stuff. And I wanted all that. You know why? Because my body was used to it. Then after a period of time when I quit eating those things and I started eating broccoli and asparagus and Brussels sprouts occasionally and green beans, yum, and salad, every kind of lettuce that grows, all that stuff, man, I'm telling you, I love it. Just eat it up. Can't get enough of it. And you say, well, oh boy, what's that all about? My appetite changed. And I started having an appetite for things that were good for me and are good for me. And I don't end up with those terrible seeking feelings that I had after eating sugar. And frankly, my pancreas is not working overtime anymore to produce insulin to get all that stuff out of my body. And I'm not sitting here craving Hershey's chocolate about right now, which I used to do in order to be able to function, you see. not craving a soft drink in the morning like I used to do about 10 o'clock because all the sugar from my breakfast had run out of me. Not craving dessert after my meals. Why? I've got an appetite. So it is with the Bible. Once you start reading the Bible and read it plenty, you increase your appetite for the Bible, and that's good. He says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Well, there you go, man. The second reason that you need to eat the words of God is because they're good for you. Just like the new things that I'm eating are good for me, and the sugar wasn't good for me, now I find that the words of God are good for me. In Proverbs chapter 24, verse 13, my son, eat thou honey because it is good. All right? So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. It'll be good for you. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and watch it, health to the bones. Health to the bones. You know, your health may not be perfect, but if you're a Bible reading, it's better than it would be if you weren't. They even have medical evidence, you know, that shows now through all kinds of case studies that people that have faith in God and pray get out of the hospital and recover faster than people who don't. I'll tell you what, honestly, if you're old enough, your body's going to give out on you and there's going to be pain and there's going to be suffering and all that kind of stuff, but you will endure it better with the words of God than you will if you don't go with the words of God. And I know men right now that are living testimonies to that. And in the meantime, if you're younger, generally your health is going to be better if you're reading the words of God. For one thing, you're going to stay away from all dissipating sins that have a tendency to break your body down and ruin you by the time you're 50 years old. And you'll follow the precepts of the Word of God. You'll do a little exercise because he said bodily exercise profiteth little. You'll do some of that. You'll read a lot, and it'll be great for your mind and great for your heart because it keeps you humble, and a proud heart is what gets as fat as grease. You know, whenever the medical doctors start looking at hardening of the arteries and they start looking at, stuff that accumulates in your heart there, like cholesterol and plaque and other things like that, one of the things they don't consider is that pride has an awful lot to do with a bad heart. According to the Bible, it does, Psalm 119, right in the vicinity of about 67 through 70, those verses in there, you read that and you'll find out that a proud heart is fat as grease. And a Bible will keep you humble, and it's good for your heart. Health to the bones. That's where the red blood cells come from. So it's good for you to read the Bible. I told my children and told people that I've dealt with professionally, if I had been a Bible reader while I was in the professional world as a banker, I would have been a far greater banker than I was by reading the Bible. Because you can see from the Bible when a guy's gypping you. And you understand your role is as a lender better and those kind of things. You also know how to avoid, you can evaluate a guy's character. You know how to avoid people that aren't worthy. So you need to eat the words of God. You need to read that Bible because, number one, it'll increase your appetite for the words of God. You'll want to read more of it. And they're good for you. They're good for you. When you feast on novels and you feast on movies, you don't want to read the Bible and you're not going to, period. When you feast on the words of God, then when you hear a novel, if there's something that's, I say hear a novel, a lot of these things are on CD now. You drive down the road and listen to them and helps you concentrate on your driving better. Well, a lot of those things are vulgar, and you don't want to listen to that. And people like to watch movies sometimes at home because they can get these DVDs and everything, sit around the house and prop their feet up, do a little family time. But if there's vulgarity on there, you're offended by that stuff, and you don't like it, right? So that Bible's good for you. Keep you away from some of that nonsense. Another reason that you need to eat the Bible, eat the words of God, is because it'll enlighten your eyes. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 27. This is when Jonathan and the men of Israel are fighting against the Philistines, and everybody's getting faint because Saul put them under a command that they couldn't eat anything until they'd finished the battle that day, and everybody was weary. They ran out of gas, you know. And old Jonathan didn't hear that command, and in verse 27 of 1 Samuel chapter 14, but Jonathan heard not when his father charged the people with the oath, wherefore he put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand and dipped it in an honeycomb and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened. Look, verse 29. Then said Jonathan, my father hath troubled the land. See, I pray you, how mine eyes have been enlightened because I tasted a little of this honey. Now that's what the Bible's going to do for you. It'll enlighten your eyes. Now you say, what does it mean to enlighten your eyes? Well, it means several things. You know that Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil as a roaring lion goeth about seeking whom he may devour. To be vigilant means to be watchful. Well, when your eyes have been enlightened by the words of God, then you're able to be a lot more vigilant about your adversary the devil. You can discern, because you can see, you can discern between what in the name of Christianity is of the devil and what in the name of Christianity is of the Lord. Yes, there is a lot of stuff going on in Christianity that is in the name of Christianity that has absolutely nothing to do with Jesus Christ at all. It's the devil's handiwork. And you got to have eyes to be able to see that. It'll enlighten you to understanding. People say, when I read the Bible, I don't understand what I'm reading. Well, that's because your eyes aren't enlightened. They will be, though, as you get into the words of God. Now, one of the things that I pray, preacher showed me to pray years ago, comes from Psalm 119, and I pray this every time that I get ready to read, because I believe it. Psalm 119, and this is what the Bible says. Open, it's verse 118. Let's see. The Bible says this, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Well, there you go. Then you've got to have the Lord open your eyes. And you know what will do it? Words of God. Sure, the Holy Spirit will get in there and open those words, and you'll begin to understand those things. When Jesus Christ dealt with his disciples about his resurrection after he had resurrected from the dead, he revealed himself to them through the words of God. And they said, did not our heart burn within us when he opened unto us the scriptures? And that's what the Lord did. He opened their understanding, enlightened them, you see. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. That's Luke 24:45. So it means that, to be enlightened, to open your understanding. All right, something else about enlightenment. There is a way to make application from the words of God. In other words, when you read, I know this is true when I read and study, I'm always looking for the doctrine. It just seems to be where my mind is, I suppose, because I'm a preacher and a teacher. But you know, when you read those words, you want to be able to make application out of those words in your life, and you want to make that application correctly so that these words will guide you through your life that day. Therefore, you want to read every day and be enlightened as to what it is that God would have you to do. The Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Well, there you go. That thing will lighten your path, lighten your eyes so you can see how you are to proceed through this dark world. That's some great stuff. And that's like honey enlightening the eyes of Jonathan. So the words of God will enlighten your eyes to be vigilant against your adversary the devil, to give you discernment in the world, to open your eyes that you may understand the scriptures, and to give you application so that the words of God will guide your feet as a light. Something else about reading the Bible. It will help you to choose the good and refuse the evil. Isaiah 7, 15. Turn to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 15. Isaiah chapter 7, and look at verse 15. The Bible says, butter and honey shall he eat that he may know. Butter and honey shall he eat that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. And the Bible will help you to choose the good and refuse the evil. Now, that's particularly good for you and I right now, but it's really good for our teenage kids. Because you take a teenager, when they're under mom's control, there's going to be fussing and stuff like that. But, you know, when they're 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, that goes with the territory. But it's not too bad, really. I mean, you can correct them and discipline them, and they pretty much turn right back to righteousness again. But boy, when they turn teen, 13, 14, 15, 16, like that, now you got a different animal on your hand because rebellion has crept into that heart. And man, when that rebellion gets in there, life around the house can get very, very difficult for you and for your teen. But you know what? When a teen is in that Bible, reading and believing everything that God says and following those words of God, being a doer of the words and not a hearer only, they will know not only what the difference between good and bad is, they kind of already got a good idea on that, but they will know to choose the good and to refuse the evil. People say, well, what about peer pressure? Man, when you got the pressure of the Holy Spirit, God Almighty and Jesus Christ in there working you over because you're familiar with and reading constantly the words of God, then when your little peers come along and say, come on, let's go do something bad, you look at them and just say, thus saith the Lord, flee youthful lusts, and away you go, run in the other direction. And that's what gives you the ability to know how to do that. So you've got to have from the Bible the ability to know to choose the good and refuse the evil. There are men in business today that look back, they're Christians, they look back and regret some of the decisions they made. You know why? Because when they were in the press, they made the decision according to what was economically expedient at the time, which may not have been the right thing, and it bore bad consequences, and now they're sitting here going, man, I wish I hadn't done that. You know what? If they'd have been in that Bible more, they would have known to choose the good and to refuse the bad. When a woman is growing up and now it's time for her to marry and some guy comes a-courting and says, I would like to marry you, she knows when to choose the good and when to refuse the bad because she's got a real good grasp of the Bible, and better yet, the Bible's got a good grasp of her. Keep her from getting into trouble with the wrong man or the man from getting in trouble with the wrong woman. It'll help you to choose the good and to refuse the evil, just like you saw in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 15. As you've been seeing in this broadcast, honey is a type of the Word of God. And Solomon told us in our text, Proverbs chapter 24, he said, my son, eat thou honey because it is good. Well, eating honey is good, and reading the Bible is good. You see, we need to eat the words of God because they increase our appetite for the Bible. They're good for us. They enlighten our eyes, and they help us to choose the good and to refuse the evil. But that's not all. Eating the words of God will help protect us from the counterfeit words. You see, not everything that goes on out there in the name of Christianity is truly from the Lord God. There are modern Bibles, and the influences in those modern Bibles have really not drawn us closer to the Lord. The influences in those modern Bibles has really produced more ungodliness than godliness. And today we are also inundated with people who come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they're not Christ's, they are antichrists. Recently, in reading some testimonies of professing Christians about God's work in their lives, you could see the influence of counterfeit words in these people's lives because there was such a gross amount of worldliness in their testimony. They weren't being drawn closer to God. They were being drawn closer to their concept of God, and there was a major difference there. So reading the words of God in a King James Bible, eating these words like honey, will protect you from the counterfeit words. They will show you something that sounds like the right thing, but it's not. Listen to Proverbs chapter 5, verse 3. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. So the lips of a strange woman are going to sound like the honeycomb, but they're not going to be the honeycomb. They're going to be a counterfeit, and you have to be able to identify
the strange woman, who in Proverbs, we've seen, is typical of false religion. False religion. So you need to eat the words of God. You need to be daily in your Bible, because these words will increase your appetite for the Bible. They're good for you. They'll enlighten your eyes. They'll help you choose the good and refuse the evil. And they'll protect you from this worldly, antichrist, modern movement of words that is producing more ungodliness and worldliness than it is producing godliness. So what's the conclusion of all this? Listen, if you aren't careful to read the words of God and digest them, you're going to end up full of the world. And when you get full of the world, you're not going to want the words of God anymore. You'll end up loathing the book. You see, in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 7, the Bible says, "The full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet." So when you get full on the world, you loathe the honey from the words of God. But when you stay hungry for righteousness, then you find your satisfaction in the honey of the words. Remember Israel when they went into the wilderness? They ate manna. It was like the coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. You know what happened to Israel? Israel began to loathe the manna when they thought about the food of Egypt. And just the same way that they loathed the manna when they thought about Egypt, a Christian feasting on the world will loathe the words of God, and he'll put the Bible down. Let me tell you something. Honey in the Bible is a type of the Word of God, and it's good for you. And you need to stay satiated with the words of God and not with the world, so that your appetite for the Bible will stay strong, and so you will stay strong. Don't put the book down for the world.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.